Welcome to Huron County's Life on the Coast, a podcast series about topics of importance and interest in Huron County. I'm your host, Roz Elliott. Our first series explores the heart of the county, its agricultural sector, and its vital contribution to the world's food supply. Of its 2,564 farms, what happens if some don't continue into the next generation? How do we ensure the sustainability of our most cherished sector? We will delve into the imperative of farm transition planning from the perspectives of business leaders, community and local government, and of course, farm families themselves. As we have these conversations, we are reminded of the first people to care and steward the land and resources, who shared their knowledge with us, who helped us. We are respectful that we share this responsibility. This first episode about transitioning the farm aims to set the table for the more personal conversations to follow. What are the economic and social drivers that necessitate a farm transition plan? We begin with the perspective of the greater business landscape with the CEO of Hensel Co-op, Brad Chandler. Brad, big fan of the Hensel Co-op, been around since, I believe, 1937. Long history of membership, and it's really grown over its time. How do you create value for your members?
Our whole model is around creating value for our members. We have about 6,000 farm members. Of that, probably 2,000 to 2,400 are full-time farmers. So it's creating value on their farms to allow them to prosper. So what can we do to help them, supply them in all their points of needs on the farm, and service them to the best of our ability? So that's the values on the external side. And then on the inside, we're creating value from on the economic side of creating more areas of revenue and premiums and savings and marketing their products on a global stage.
Well, Brad, we're having this conversation about transitioning farms, and it's always been a material conversation in the sense that we have to care about sort of the connectivity and the continuity of operations. I want to ask you on several topics today about why this matters, why we should be concerned about farm transition. Talk to me about why it matters to continuity of operations.
From Hensel Co-op's point of view, and I think agriculture in a whole, we're going into a time frame here in Ontario where we're going to see the largest land mass of movement of land to the next generation, the next demographic, and the next consolidated size. So we're going to see a lot of smaller farms go to mid-size and mid-size, or mid-size to larger, and it's going to be a change of the landscape for all of us. For us, the continuity and succession is to help us keep the continuity of operations on the farm. There's so many important things that go on in a farm, and we need to make the transition seamless from farm ownership into farm management from one generation to the next. That's what's important to us. And then there's also the long-term relationships that are built around that succession, the long-term supply agreements that we have in place that allow us as Hensel Co-op, we're marketing to end users globally to over 45 different countries, and they rely on that ability to sustain their needs. And we rely on our growers. So our relationships, the sustainability of the transition is very, very important to our business.
Wow, that's a lot to unpack. You said some pretty powerful things there that I just want to delve into just a little bit. You talk about this is going to be a point in time where we see a consolidation of farms coming up. We haven't seen that since maybe the 80s, 90s. Would that be about right?
Yeah, I think probably since that time that you mentioned it, that was done probably some succession, a lot of it that was done through a financial crisis. Many of the people listening probably can remember or heard about the 20% interest rates in the 80s, and it was tough on farmers. Since that time, farming has did extremely well, but farmers are always, they are dedicated to their profession, and it continues to go. Land values continue to rise every year. And farm sizes, and but the challenge with farming today is the equity and capital it takes to be a farmer. And the next thing is the equipment to farm, they don't make small equipment anymore. They're made for a mid-sized to large farm operation, and it continues to grow that way. The trends are that way. So we see a lot of the succession planning and the challenges that they go through.
Yeah, that's really striking when I think about that. The landscape that you paint, again, you spend a lot of time in other countries. You see the trends. You see what comes here. And stepping up to that next level of size is a game changer.
Well, really, what we're marketing is niche markets, specialty markets globally. That the countries we're marketing to, their farmers aren't interested in those. We call them niche or specialty markets. They have large, very large farms that are needed to create the volume. What we need is those specialty markets that are lesser volume but higher premium. So it comes down to dollars and cents and workload at the farm level. So that's what we really market. We're marketing to some countries that have the land base to do what we do, but the farmers don't see that value. So we can help to create that value, make a culture around that value, and then deliver that value to the end users.
Well, that speaks then to what I think is one of the next big points that you referenced, which is economic stability. And in the sense that if we don't have strong farm transitions and we have a breakdown, this affects this overall market. It's precarious if we don't keep this in play.
Yes, like with us, every farm counts to us. Mm-hmm. So a well-planned succession strategy helps prevent financial turmoil within that family and that family unit, and also the business unit that they represent. So a family unit is also has the business side of it, and that's what we're dealing with all the time. So without a proper succession plan, disputes over farm assets or management or not passing on that knowledge, it creates a potential crisis leading to, you know, financial instability to us as a cooperative and to our end users. They're relying on that product. So, the economic stability is very, very important to us.
And so there you spoke to the sort of the sustainability of the cooperative, 6,000 members strong. As you just said, every member counts.
Yeah, every member counts, every succession counts. Our farmers are very diversified. So it gets very complicated when you not only have your crop side of the business, you have animal nutrition, many of them are involved in poultry or swine or cattle. So they do multiple crops, the rotations of crops, the management of the animals on the farm and the crop. It's a very complicated science. And our farmers here, they do it very well and make it look very seamless and very easy, which it's not. It's very much needed that we need to create that atmosphere so we can sustain that going forward. 6,000 members, don't get me wrong, is important, but the viable, strong members within that 6,000 is what leads our business. And our relationship with those businesses, their farm businesses, that's the most important to us.
When I think about everything you just said, I'm just very aware of how much knowledge exists that's been passed down from generation to generation. This is a complex organization, a family farm, a family business, often incorporated. One of the aspects about this is, how do you pass that knowledge on? How do you keep it? As you say, there's a lot going on out there.
Well, the way to pass it on is having a succession plan. That's the biggest thing is for us is that sustainability, is that farm plan, ensuring that farms pass down to the next successor, the competent successors that want that, and the information that goes along with on that farm. Farming as a whole, you can read on broad levels, but when it comes down to farming that business's land and grooming their livestock and taking care of what's on part of that farm, that's where the real value lies to us. And that's what allows us to have, because we want them to succeed. So we want that transfer of knowledge. So we have to have a longer succession, maybe, where people are shadowing, they're learning, they're understanding, they recognize the importance of it, and they grow with it. And then it's an easier transfer of knowledge.
Yeah, good business, right?
Yeah, good business. Exactly.
Good business.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to put on my selfish hat. I like to eat at the end of the day. I like my breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I love the tasty food that the area has, the region. Speak to me a little bit about food security. What, again, happens if we don't have good planning?
Well, food security, our consumers more and more are demanding to know the traceability on their food. First of all, we're very lucky here in Canada to have food security. Most of us can go and get food whenever we want. We have a confidence that it's safe and it has full traceability. And consumers want that, and they want to know where it's coming from and how that food is cultured or cultivated, and understand that the food supply chain of that food. So it's great because we can supply that, and the other countries that we're dealing with globally also want that. So we need that food security from our growers, and today we have that. And our goal is to make sure that we, in these succession plans, that people carry that same importance on that side of the business, is the food security, because many parts of the world don't have that food security. We deal in Asia, where 70% of their food is imported, and they don't trust anyone because this is their food. They want to see traceability. They have to understand where that food came from. They have to, first of all, they have to trust their partners. Mm-hmm. And we're lucky enough that we have a long history in parts of Asia, Southeast Asia, where they trust us and they know we're going to supply the best product and safe product that we can have and provide them. And we're lucky enough at the co-op, we have a very strong quality assurance program.
Yeah, I just get such an immense pride when I think about everything that goes from food to table, off the king's table, I think you said earlier. I love that expression.
Yeah, we survive. I always say that, Hensel Co-op is perceived to being a large business, and which we are. We're over $1 billion business. I'm not trying to belittle that side of it. But in the world function, the world horizon, we're not that big. We survive off the crumbs, off the king's tables. The things that the big companies don't want to do, we need to do them and do them very well. And there's lots of customers out there. I take great pride when I sit and I go to Japan or go to a country, Japan is in particular, and they bring out their product. Maybe it's tofu. And they're so proud of this tofu that they created and that they manufactured, and they have me taste it. And I'm proud of the fact that it's our beans that made that tofu. Their pride is all in the product that they've made, and they have a great brand. And my pride is in knowing that our beans, our IP soybeans, have went into making that product.
I think I just had that the other night. It was delicious. Yeah, absolutely. Again, I think of pride. I think of the members who are part of the co-op. What does satisfaction or success look like to them?
You know, I think the co-op continues to grow. We're lucky. We have great support. We're not perfect because the world's changing so quickly. It's hard for us to keep up at times, but we're growing. And the only way we can grow is by the support of our members. So we gauge our growth by the support from those members. And we are doing our best to supply them with the critical supplies that they need to farm properly at the best price, leveraging it. We continue to stay all Canadian ownership, and we're totally independent. That's what we like, and that's what our membership tells us they want, and our success is really their success.
Right, and I'm going to give you one final opportunity to say anything that you think you want our farm businesses and families to hear. What's important? Why should they care, in a nutshell, about farm transition?
Well, farm transition, I think farming is a great opportunity. It's a great lifestyle. It's very rewarding. You can't ask for a more down-to-earth profession, if that's what we want to call it. It's really a livelihood that people admire. It's important that people recognize how important the crops that they're producing are so important to our economies, our farm economies, our rural economies. We want our rural our communities to stay alive and to grow. And everyone works. Everyone helps us grow. And it's hard until you get to your overseas and you see how highly regarded our Hensel Co-op and Canadian and Ontario food products are regarded. It's hard to really get the full picture of it, but it's very important. It's very important that we have a longer term succession plan where people are passing on knowledge from one another. They're understanding every part of their farm operation, and that they're supported by the people that are passing that farm on. That's very important, that they have that full support.
Well, thanks to you, I have a better picture of the broader landscape and the important role that our farmers play from the beginning to the end, soup to nuts, if you will. I'm a proud fourth generation daughter of a Huron County pig farmer, and there is something very proud about growing up with the rural roots and seeing the contribution. So thank you to Hensel Co-op and everything you do and all your members do to bring food security to our tables.
Oh, thank you, and thank you to all our members that support us.
Huron County's agricultural impact is far greater than I appreciated as a youth growing up on a cash crop and pig farm in Stanley Township. I remember an idyllic upbringing, unaware of the high interest rates, those stressors, and the concerns about yields and market prices. I admit to having rose-colored glasses. To help with my hindsight and foresight, I sat with Gwen Devereaux, president of Gateway Center for Excellence in Rural Health, to better understand the social and mental health perspective of operating a family farm business. I have a bit of rose-colored glasses and a romanticized version of my upbringing on my farm in Stanley Township. And I know it wasn't all rosy, but I remember a very community time. I wonder if you could paint a scene for us of when we think of the farming life, maybe back in the 80s and the 90s or the 70s, what was it like?
Well, my picture through my rose-colored glasses is this beautiful countryside with amazing crops, with farmers taking huge pride in producing those crops that were feeding us. And everyone had large gardens and people worked together years ago, so we didn't have the equipment, so they came together for planting, they came together for harvest. They were very involved in the community as a farming community in these small rural towns, and a beautiful lifestyle, just beautiful to be raised in the country.
And I remember spending a lot of time with neighbors and joining up, collaborating at church even. It was a time of community.
A time of community, absolutely.
And with that, I always think about when you're together with people that you know and you're working alongside, you talk a lot about the little things, but as you're talking about the little things, you sometimes talk about the big things.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, what's it like? Let's fast forward to maybe what's changed in sort of the environment of the landscape. What's it like now? What's maybe changed or is different?
Well, the large farms, no longer the small farms survive. In economically, they've grown larger and larger. Equipment. Huge, and more isolation for that farmer who will be operating this very large equipment alone for hours in a day. And that's a huge difference.
Yeah. So isolation.
Isolation is big, and we all know how that feels because of COVID.
We do.
And the fact that they have many stressors, watching the markets, the weather, and so on. We all had the same stress during the pandemic. We couldn't see our loved ones. And now with the agriculture community, they have large farms, and it's a race against weather. It's financially the stress of these big farms and this equipment, it's so expensive.
I also think, you know, I have such fond memories of my father, and just I felt that he could tackle anything. And I always considered him the strong, silent type. Do we associate a persona that maybe makes it hard for people in farms to be expressive?
Yes, absolutely, 100%. I mean, I think that's handed down from generation to generation. They had to deal with it. And so I think farmers have just had to deal with it. So the interesting part about this is they go through all the same things that the rest of us go through. Loss of loved ones, financial hardships, marriage breakups, partnerships, and yet they feel they need to handle it because every day in their work, they're mechanics, they're engineers, they are incredibly, in my mind, the most brilliant professionals, really.
I always thought my dad was a bit of a MacGyver. He could make the swather run again by using mother's old pantyhose when a belt went, you know.
I now imagine doing that on the this.
Not so much.
Not so much.
Not so much.
Not so much.
So where does that leave our friends in the farm? They're isolated, perhaps. They don't feel that they can talk about things. What are some of the things or solutions or resources for them? How do they find community?
I think that's an incredibly good question. We have developed a project called Shed Talks, which we're launching December 1st in Brussels. And we're very excited about this. And this is totally about bringing farmers together and creating that community of farmers. And you and I both know that if you say to people, you know, how are you doing? And they'll say, fine, I'm good, I'm great. Everything's good. And then you say, because you know of what they're going through, you say, how are you really doing? And sometimes, I'm not sure if it's the nurse in me, but sometimes when I say that to people, they will then really open up. And I think what we want to create with our Shed Talks is that kind of relationship with the farmers, that they can bring their people together where they're comfortable. So in launching these Shed Talks, we're hoping that the farmers will then take them to their own community and they will gather a few farmers together in the neighborhood and they will meet on a regular basis and for no particular reason, but to be together so that they develop community, as you put it, that they can turn to perhaps in hard times, just to have someone to talk to.
You know, I think about how for women, we have a natural inclination to bond and talk about things, stages of life. There's a stage of life that we get to, and for some, it's not as comfortable or an easy stage, and that's retirement. We don't all embrace it and become golfers and boaters. When we think of someone on the farm, how do you think they view retirement when they're so invested in what they've built?
I think it's got to be one of the hardest things. I mean, retirement for many people, it's difficult. You're leaving the team you worked with. You are, setting a routine every day. You got up, you went to work, and I think certainly COVID just shook us up a little bit on that one. And so for the farmer who has had his own business, his own pride and joy, and he looks around of all the years of hard work that he did creating this, and maybe his father, maybe his grandfather. So he should have such a sense of pride. And so it's not like walking away from an office that didn't really ever belong to you, or it is, and you also live there.
Yeah.
And so there's no getting away from that stress. So you look around in your retirement and it's all there still. And you physically are unable to do the work.
The work doesn't get easier as we age. It's labor. It's intense. Your bones and your muscles feel it, don't they?
Yeah. And for most farmers, they've lifted perhaps things a little too heavy.
Right.
Yeah, because there hasn't been someone there to help, and they've worked so hard.
Long hours. And the identity, as you say, I always think of our farmers. They're stewards of the land. It's the people closest to the foundations of our tables, off the king's table to us. they've produced this, they've created this, and what a beautiful pride, as you say. What's a proud moment? How do you step away from that? You don't.
Mm. Very hard.
So do we see depression or things like that affecting people on the farm?
Yes. We do realize that there's a great deal of depression, anxiety. These are tough times, walking away, as we have spoken about. And I think when some of those pressures come in to your life, then you aren't sleeping so well, you aren't eating so well, you're feeling overwhelmed with the smallest tasks, and then you start diving. And so I think it's very hard for farmers, being so stoic and being able to handle everything, to reach out. And we all know that in tough times you need to reach out, because then you can get some support before you really do get ill. And if you can get some counseling on how to handle, get back into a good sleep routine, it can make an incredible difference.
You can mitigate it?
Yes.
Sadly, there are those who haven't been able to mitigate it, that for whatever reason haven't been able to turn that corner. Are we seeing suicide rates? Are we seeing sort of that picture?
Yeah, it's very unfortunate that there's a high rate of suicides.
Yeah.
For rural farmers.
Yeah, that's sad.
It's very sad.
That's sad. We talk a lot about with youth, we don't often think about this sort of demographic that, again, doesn't. It's a stoic person who can handle everything. We just don't imagine that they would succumb.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Gwen, what else haven't we talked about that you think it's really important for people to understand as we think about sort of the landscape that people live in and how they're enduring?
Well, with Gateway, we've been looking at all rural health. Across the board, in youth and aging and healthcare. And I think that when we first started looking at Shed Talks and looked at our agriculture community, we did not have what's available now for the farmers. So I'm very excited that there are some workshops being done. There's a helpline now specifically for farmers. We have the National Farmers Mental Health Alliance that has trained people in this area from farm backgrounds, so you can speak confidentially to a counselor. And the beauty now is you can do this virtually. So for the farmer who is finding it really difficult to reach out, maybe they don't want to be seen going to a counselor, they can virtually get the help now. We have the Three Oaks in Chatham, a family who lost a son, a young farmer, first responder, and he took his life, and now they have built a beautiful log cabin in some land that they had, and this is a retreat for people to go that are going through a stressful time. So I think those things were not in place a few years ago when we were looking at how can we help our really, really important agriculture community, and they're there now. So I'm thankful that those things are in place. The OFA doing workshops. We're working on a mental health first aid. So this project, when we launch, we talk about first aid, physical first aid, and so you learn how to deal with CPR and so on, and you learn how to handle physically and look after injuries. We're going to shift over to a mental first aid and provide you with some of the tools that can help build your resiliency.
A powerful word, resiliency. We rely on our agricultural sector. Our family farms need to be resilient. I turned to Vicki Lass, Director of Economic Development with Huron County, to offer regional insight in why one of the most powerful tools for resiliency is a farm transition plan. What role does economic development play or even care about succession planning with farming?
Thanks, Roz. We do get that question. Why do we care? Why are we involved with families? But they're businesses, and they're part of our number one sector in Huron County, and they're big businesses. In 2021, we did what we, a standard economic development tool is called a business retention and expansion survey. And we went out to our businesses to ask them questions about what do they need? What are their challenges? What are their roadblocks? What can we do to help? And resoundingly, over 721 businesses answered, including over 200 farm families answered those questionnaires. And we heard over and over again, transition planning. It's difficult. It's tough. We're aging out. Here's the baby boomers' age. Our business owners are aging, whether they be farm or other business owners. The reality is. And what we heard from them is, we need help. We need resources, we need better understanding, we need to know where to start. And so that's our job, to provide tools and resources to help our sectors flourish. And we decided to start with farm families to help them flourish so that our thriving agricultural sector could continue.
And when you think about it, the agricultural businesses are very much an anchor institution in the county. So many dollars flow from those dollars.
Absolutely. So it's not just our farmers, but all along the ag value chain, which is why Brad was part of the conversation with Hensel Co-op. You know, it's our agricultural sector is really quite substantial. We are the highest producing county in Ontario.
I did not know that. And, you know, when I think about farming as a business, we can talk about business. Succession planning is something businesses think about, but it's very nuanced. When you think about a farm, it's far more complex because you're building in legacy, the cost of capital, families are involved, residences are involved. It may not have been a conversation that happened previously with other generations. What are some of the reasons it hasn't occurred?
So farmers really give, they've been surveyed and they've been asked. In one survey, there was about a 10% response rate from farmers that they were never going to die, so they didn't have to succession plan. And it's like, I would like some of that water. but the reality is what we have found from farmers is that there is a real fear of loss of control. There is a fear of failure. There is a fear of family friction. And a loss of purpose. And so for any of us, when we're looking at retirement, we have those fears to a degree, but farmers are different in that we're so tied to the land. We're so tied to our everyday business. We love what we do. You couldn't do the 24/7 of farming if you didn't love it. And we think multi-generationally. So we think about the forefathers who got us set up, have been doing it. In my husband's family, we can trace back to the 1500s. Not just farmers, but farmers with his name. Wow. The same name, first and last, have been carried through since the 1500s. That's really hard to just cash in and walk away. We don't do that. And even before there were children on the scene, my husband and I were talking about the grandchildren. Because we think out a number of generations, both back and forward. And so that brings a real dynamic that I won't say regular businesses don't have, but not in the same way, I believe, as farm families do. And that passing on, that legacy piece, it's just woven into the fabric of agriculture. And actually, the culture of agriculture is about that legacy piece.
Okay, you just hit me in the forehead here. The culture of agriculture, that is such a striking comment. And as you say, this is cultural. It is legacy. It's in the DNA. It's literally in someone's DNA, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at succession planning and you look at the value of some of the farms in Huron County. Of the 2,564 farms in Huron County, they have under their management over $12 billion in capital assets alone. $12 billion in capital assets alone. We happen to know that Huron County is above the Canadian average. The Canadian average of written succession plans is about 8% of farms have them. Huron County has 14%. But Roz, when we do the math, that's still over $10 billion in capital assets alone, not revenue, capital assets alone that are unprotected with a written plan.
And we're talking written. I'm sure people have a verbal understanding. But even with that, that verbal isn't solid. It's not structured. It's not documented. How does that make you feel when you hear that that amount of revenue and capital is, to your words, unprotected?
It leaves our top sector in a very vulnerable position. And that's of huge concern. We want to remain in our position as the most highly productive agricultural county in Ontario. We want to encourage the investment that those farm families have made, and not just in capital, but in sweat equity, in emotion, in legacy. We want to make sure that maintains. It's the fabric of who Huron County is, and we need to help protect that and help support that in any way that we can.
And so we're coming full circle. Here comes ECDEV, the role that you can play. What are some of the tools that you've already introduced or are in the process of introducing?
So we went carefully through what was asked for in that business retention and expansion survey, or we call it a BR&E. We shorten everything. and we paid a lot of attention. We looked at a lot of other studies as well. And what most farm families found was they just didn't know where to start. And that's where we come in. So we have compiled a number of podcasts that you can find links to on our website. We have actually purchased and put books in our library system so you can borrow them and read them quietly. We have put a number of links to various experts, information and resources so that you can quietly read. And so the idea being is that farm families don't really want to come to the table and have these discussions because they fear that friction. Mm-hmm. And so what we've tried to create is a number of resources that you can quietly explore alone, that you can share at those farm meetings, that you can learn new language, new tools, new resources to bring to those discussions, and then you can also find the coaches and the people who can help you work through those discussions. Because Roz, not only does it help with the succession planning, when families meet on a regular basis and they have some clarity around what the future looks like, both for the founding generation and the next generation, farms are more profitable.
It all comes down to the bottom line. Thank you for saying that, because so often when we talk about initiatives, people miss the point that it's good for the bottom line.
Yeah. When you're at a point where it's causing tremendous stress to not know what the future looks like and to not know what those farm family meetings are going to look like. When you have that kind of stress in your life, it's very hard to do your job effectively and as efficiently as you could, and therefore as profitably as you could.
And not make mistakes.
Absolutely. And one of the most interesting stats that we've had is there's a farmer mental health line that you can call 24/7 and get assistance on the spot. And it's manned by people who understand the culture of agriculture and mental health. And in its first year of existence, which its first year ended in June, the line is still open. But looking at the first year stats, there was an overwhelming number of farmers calling between the ages of 55 and 75. And their main concern was succession planning. It causes tremendous stress, just as friction in any family causes stress. And they're not necessarily having friction. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to start the conversation. They don't know how to overcome their fears. And so in the ECDEV department, what we're trying to do is give you many points of entry. I like to use the analogy, if we put out a smorgasbord of tools and resources, and please come and select what works for you now and come back and select what works for you next. And we'll be continuing this conversation and continuing to add resources. Every family is different. People can then select what works best for their family, for their discussions, for their point in the journey, because it's a process. It's not an end point.
We talked earlier with Gwen Devereaux, and we talked about aging out and retirement, and so much of our identity is tied into the farm. As you say, it's a life. It's not a job.
Exactly.
It's so much more embedded into our psyche that it's difficult. And I heard you say one time, you phrased it, that you're not stepping out, you're...
Yes, it's not about stepping out, it's about stepping back. Mm. And when you can step back, it takes away that fear of loss of purpose. It takes away that fear of failure because you're still there. But what's tricky and necessary is to value what everybody brings to the table. So when you step back a bit, you still have things to offer. You have seen numerous seasons. You have seen droughts. You have seen times when the rain just wouldn't stop and you just could not put away dry hay. Like, how frustrating. You've seen the ups and downs. You've seen the changes in the industry. But also recognizing that the next generation has had the opportunity to have formal education, to benefit from the science and the research and information. And when you can marry those two in a way where everyone's knowledge is respected and we can grow together, the success is unlimited. But it's not about somebody dying and then taking over. And that's why we like transition as opposed to succession. Transition is stepping back, not stepping out.
Thank you for being part of this conversation and starting this conversation and making it happen. So we appreciate your leadership on this and all the partners that you've brought to the table. It's very encouraging. Any last thoughts?
I just really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, and I just have the sincerest appreciation for those members of our community who've been willing to be part of the conversations, because again, it is a vulnerable thing to talk about your personal experience in a family business, whether it's a family farm or a family business. And I really admire the founder generation and the next generation who have been willing to participate with us and to talk about tools, resources, things that have worked well, things that haven't, but to open up to their community members because they're devoted to their community and they're willing to share. And so I just really want to say I admire them for saying yes, and I encourage you to listen to their conversations.
I hope we've set the table for the need of a farm transition plan. Next episode, I sit down with strategic business consultant Jim Lynn, who has worked directly with farm families on developing a farm transition plan. He shares the good, bad, and yes, ugly. And then we hear the perspective of three women family founders about their experience with farm transitions. Then a special event, a one-day farm succession planning event called Finding Fairness in Farm Transition, featuring Canada's farm whisperer and family coach, Elaine Fraze. That's on November 16 in Goderich, offered by Huron County Economic Development. For more information, go to their website at hurontcounty.ca/economic development. And you can sign up for a one-hour individual coaching session with Elaine Fraze on November 17th. It can be your first step towards ensuring your family farm succession. And Elaine will be back on February 29th for a farm succession webinar. More to come on that. We'll follow on with further perspectives, the founder men, the next gen, and the in-law perspective, all here on Huron County's Life on the Coast. Thanks for listening. I'm Roz Elliott. This podcast is funded in part by the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture, Food and Rural Affairs and the County of Huron. The views expressed in this podcast are not those of the province or the county.